Hello, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour, and we're live tonight. Last week, I was out of town in New York doing one of my classes, but then I guess you never know the difference because they pull something out of the archives when I'm not here anyway. We've been having a lot of trouble with the telephone, so I hope this one's going to be okay. Before I went to New York, I had Helen Reddy on the show, and we were talking to Australia in the middle of a terrible thunderstorm, hail, and we were under a tornado watch. And people said it sounded very like talking down in a tunnel. So we found out later that the lightning destroyed my telephone. So I've been experimenting with some tonight. So let's see, I think this is going to go okay. All right, and I've got a guest, but before we go on, I want to give you my 800 the toll-free number if anyone wants to call in and ask any questions tonight. And the toll-free number is good all over the world. So the toll-free number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And now, because we are getting ready for our conference, this is our fourth transformation conference that will be here in Arkansas, and it's going to be June the 12th to the 14th. It's not very long from now, just a month away. And for the next several weeks, this is what I've been doing, is having the guests on the show or the speakers that are going to be here for the conference. So that's what I've got tonight, is another one of my authors that is going to be a speaker. And her book has just come out. So we're going to be talking to Julia Hansen, who lives in Texas. And you're there, aren't you, Julia?
I'm here, Dolores. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
I probably call you Jules from time to time because that's what you like to go by, isn't it?
It sure is.
Okay. But I've met Jules several times anyway, and before at different conferences, and then she sent me her manuscript, and we published the book, and I think it just came out, didn't it?
It did, about 3 weeks ago, yes.
Yeah, it's one of our newest ones, and we're trying to get all these out before the conference, so we'll have them there. And Julia's book is called Awakening to Your Creation. And Julia, first, I'll just switch back and forth with Jules and Julia, whichever
That's
one
fine,
comes out. Okay. But first, I want you to tell everybody about yourself. You know, what you do, how you got into this, you know, and all of that. I'll have to get the background before we get into the book.
Well, my background for writing the book was I was 21 years old and had a lot of questions. And I had an insatiable curiosity about the world and about how the world worked. And when I was 21, it didn't seem to make a lot of sense. And I had a most amazing experience. I call it my angelic intervention. And during a very troubled time in my life, Kevin walks in. It's an angelic presence that began speaking and teaching me things about our planet that I didn't know, and things that I'd always been curious about. So for the next 7 years, from the time I was 21 to just about 29, maybe 30, Kevin came in on a regular basis and started teaching me the way things really were on this planet versus the way I'd always thought them to be. And
now, didn't you say this was a real presence? It wasn't just a voice in your head in the beginning, was it?
No. It was an actual physical materialization right in my living room, and I was not the only one to see it. My best friend was sitting beside me.
Yeah, tell them about that, because I know people are used to hearing voices in their head and channeling,
sure,
but this was something different.
This was something completely different. I had never heard angels, or it's not that I hadn't heard of them, but I had no concept of what that was back then. And my friend and I were sitting on our living room couch one afternoon drinking coffee and discussing life in general and the mysteries of why life is the way it is. And all of a sudden, in the corner of the room, I saw this sparkling kind of just a white sparkling light. And within about 2 minutes, this being just emanated from this light, and it was the most beautiful being I'd ever seen in my life. And it just resonated a loving presence that I've never felt before. It was truly amazing, absolutely beautiful.
And I think in the book you said you were totally dumbfounded.
Absolutely.
Both of you were.
Oh, yeah. And we laughed about it later. It was so funny. Dash, my friend and I, that I talk about in the book a lot, we had the guppy look, the eyeballs popping out and the jaw dropping to the floor, thinking we were both crazy. And it was funny. At the time, I remembered that delusions, you know, two people couldn't have the same delusion at the same time. So I figured we were seeing something quite real. And it was such a loving presence. It wasn't scary. It wasn't, you know, terrifying at all. It was absolutely the most loving presence I'd ever been, had ever seen or experienced. It was quite wonderful.
But then you said it was over a period of time, though, wasn't it, before he began answering your questions?
Yeah, it was really kind of funny, Dolores. The very first time after I got over my being dumbfounded, I started piling with questions because I'm insatiably curious. I really wanted to understand my world. And by the time I started formulating all the questions in my mind, he had the most beatific smile on his face. And he said, all of your questions will be answered in the fullness of our time together. Mm. And he said, I'm here to help you remember your answers. And I thought that was the most unusual phrase. I said, how can you remember something that you don't even know that you know? And to me, that was the spark that really sparked my curiosity. So before I could even formulate the questions I had, he continued with, remember, love is all there is. And with that, he was just gone.
Mm.
And I almost wanted to kick myself. I was like, I had all these wonderful questions, and I thought I'd blown it. I thought I had he was gone, and I was never going to have that opportunity again. Well, that wasn't the case. He came back time and again, and through our time together, we learned some really interesting things.
Well, you know, it's what in the early days of my work, that's what they said, too. You don't want to know more. You just want to remember more.
Exactly.
And that's what they're thinking, you know, what do you mean? But it's like all the answers are there. We just don't realize it.
That's exactly right. And in my book, it's a long story, way too long for an hour, but all of our answers are literally encoded in our genetic structure. We have every answer to every question that we ever thought about. And one of the most interesting things he told me was that if you have formulated the question, you already know the answer.
Yeah, the problem is we don't know it on a conscious level.
Exactly. And that's what the book is all about. The book is about literally coming to the awareness of who it is you truly are and what we came here to do, because this is a pivotal point in our human history. The time period we're living in now is extraordinary. And we are so lucky to be a part of it. That's one of the things I've learned in all the years. That, like I said, 21 was a long, long time ago. And that time is
time speeds up very quickly anyway.
It sure does. It sure does. And one of the things that I've realized is that we are privileged to get to do this. In other words, sometimes people and a lot of my clients come in and say, my gosh, Jules, this is hard. This is tough. I'm really not having a good time. And it's like, well, you know what? This is your choice. You chose to come here. And
yes,
you were lucky enough to get a ticket to be on the planet at the most pivotal point in human history. And
yeah, that's what a lot of people don't realize. They do create their reality. They choose their life. You come in with your plan. You just don't remember it all, but
exactly,
it's all there. We can't blame anybody else but ourselves.
That's exactly right. It's so funny. It's like trying to find your way home without a roadmap. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. It was so funny. When I first started this journey, I kept thinking, how come we didn't get a handbook? How come we didn't get a manual to this world to figure out, you know, how to go about doing stuff? Because back in the early 80s when Kevin first showed up, I called him Kevin. He was an angel. And he pronounced his name the first time, and it was just gorgeous. It was like a musical symphony. It hit on every emotional level, made you laugh and cry all at the same time. And, of course, I couldn't say that, so I just called him Kevin.
That was easier that way.
I'm sorry?
It was easier that way.
It is. And I think maybe in on some level it was more human. It was something I could relate to rather than this just incredible being. But through our years together, some of the information that came through was so extraordinary. One of the most beautiful things that I remember him saying was, your reality, you know, truth is the truth until it's not. And basically our reality, you know, and my version of the reality is my truth, and it's always subject to change. In other words, the more you know, the more you realize, and the more you become aware of the choices that you make, the more you can change your planet. You can change the entire structure of a planet, and that's what we're trying to do. A lot of light workers have come in to do that, and that's what this little manual is all about, this little booklet that I wrote, is about coming to that place of realization that we choose, we make the decisions. We're the actors, doers, beers, and stars in our own play.
We're the writers of the script, the directors, and everything.
That's right. And
that's all it is. It's only an illusion. It's just a play, and we're just actors playing a part.
That's right.
And see, but you were talking about earlier not getting a handbook. I asked them one time, wouldn't it be easier if we knew why we were here and, you know, our connections with other people and all of that? They said it wouldn't be a test if you knew the answers.
Exactly. Mine said the same thing.
I think we're all talking to the same one,
I think, strangely enough, I think we are. It came to pass that, you know, I'd asked him once about the subconscious versus the unconscious and what we had tapped into, what Dash, my friend, and I had tapped into, I think literally was a manifestation of the subconscious that literally holds everything. It holds every thought, word, action, and deed, every thought spoken or performed on this planet by every soul on this planet.
Well, see, that's what I work with my clients.
Exactly.
And that's what I teach in my classes. I said, I call it the subconscious, and I didn't know what else to call it. But it's actually like the higher self, the oversoul, the higher consciousness. But it's so huge and so big, it knows everything.
Oh, it's amazing. It is.
That's, you know, that's what I tell people. I asked them one time, they said, we don't care what you call us. You can call us the subconscious if you want, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just a name, but it doesn't make any difference. But they answered to it, so... That's what I call them anyway.
And that's probably why we came up with the name Kevin, because I think perhaps, you know, I was only 21. The subconscious or the unconscious was maybe too big for me to handle. I remember hearing you once speak, Dolores, and you said something that really stuck with me, and it was, they never give you more than you can handle in any given moment.
Yeah.
And I believe that absolutely to be true. This story is a 30-year journey for me. So this didn't come overnight. This was a long, long process of receiving information about why our world works, how it works, and how we can make it better. Because collectively, we're fixing to move into what I call the roller coaster ride of the century.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look in our world right now, you can kind of tell. Right now, it appears the future is what kind of interests me right now, because what we're deciding and what we're creating right now is going to determine our future and how we do this, what I call the ascensional process. Again, it's just a word. You can use whatever word you like. But Kevin always used to call it the ascensional process that we're undergoing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'm trying to awaken is people to their very own creations. People say, well, what can I do? You know, I'm barely conscious of my own little world. I mean, I can barely maintain on a day-to-day basis. What can I possibly do to help the world move forward into this ascensional process? And my answer to that is simple, is by bringing peace to your own life. Because if love is all there is and everything else is just stuff we make up in order to experience, then we can change those very choices to create higher choices. And we can do that in our everyday lives. We don't have to do that on a big worldwide scale. There's some people like you that come in as master teachers that have studied.
Oh, but I wasn't, believe me, I was just like you. I was very dumb and stupid.
I think in the beginning we all are.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on.
And believe me, there are days when I feel the very same way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you know. Life still is going to give you challenges.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. That's what I tell people. Everybody has bad things that have happened to them. This
sure.
is life. That's what it's all about. It's all about lessons.
Right.
But I said, what did you learn from that experience?
and that.
And sometimes they give me these funny looks, you know, when we're at conferences, and they'll say, well, I didn't learn anything. Well, then if you didn't learn anything, you're going to have to repeat it again, because this is one of the lessons in the school.
That's right.
But if you learned even one thing from the experience, that was what it was all about.
Exactly.
And it's not easy. It is painful, but that's what we came here to experience.
Sure, it's a painful process. It's so funny. People keep thinking that the negative emotions are not something we need to experience. We can only experience the positive emotions. But that's not what the creator or the source or whatever you wish to call it designed. This is about experiencing the whole gamut, all the way from good, bad, ugly to beautiful, happy, and joyful. It's about experiencing all of it.
Well, they always say, how can you understand happiness if you hadn't known sorrow?
Exactly.
And you have to know the opposites before you can understand anything that's happening to you.
That's true. That's absolutely the case. It's extremely, to me, it's almost nonsensical in a world of duality that you can only experience the good, the joy, and the light, and the love. That's where we came from. That's who we truly are.
Yeah.
We already are these beautiful spiritual beings that are perfect, whole, and complete. We chose to have a physical incarnation to limit ourselves into
and to learn from it,
right, to grow exponentially. Mm. And this is the toughest planet. It's so funny. Amaret, another one of my guides, who is absolutely stunningly gorgeous, she materialized in my living room. I've only seen her twice. I hear her a lot, but I've only actually seen her twice, and she is stunning. And she speaks frequently of that very thing. And when she comes in and says, experience is the best teacher, and pain, usually for some of the more stubborn humans, is the best teacher, then you know, okay, well, this is the experience I'm having. This is what I chose by my very choices. I'm going to have this experience. And if you don't find the gift in that challenge, again, you're destined to repeat yourself over and over and over again. And that's why people have things happen to them again and again and again.
Yeah, I see this all the time in my clients that come to me.
Yes.
And, you know, people set up a pattern, and it goes back to other lives and
sure.
Even carried up into this life. But the same way, you know, women will draw the same kind of men to them over and over again that are bad for them,
yes.
Bad relationships. And they don't realize they haven't got it. Once they get it and understand it, then it moves on to the next lesson, which may or may not be easier. It may even be harder, but at least you've got out of that rut.
Exactly. And that's a lot of that is in my book. I've injured my back severely three times in my life, and I never realized the connection between all three events until I really started analyzing what it was that I was doing, what it was that I was creating by my choices, and the eventual outcome. And once I realized that, I was like, oh, I get it now. Okay, I can let that go. I can forgive it, and I can move forward into something a little bit more positive. And it was amazing how quickly my life changed.
This is what a lot of people don't understand. You know, I deal with this every day in my work. Well, you're a healer also. But I know that we create the body is intended to be healthy all the time.
Yes.
And it was created that way. They said it is a marvelous machine that has been designed to repair itself and take care of itself if we don't interfere. So we are intended to be healthy. So any ache, pain, symptom, or anything you're going through, it's trying to tell you something. And that's, and it gets a little worse the more you don't understand. It's still
right.
Trying to get your attention.
And
people
so
don't
get the
see it that way,
work.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, but I remember in your book you said that you had terrible back pain, didn't you?
Oh, excruciating. Excruciating. I mean, debilitating, sometimes to the point where I couldn't even walk. And the most important part of all of that was learning. Once I understood why that was happening, pain in any form is a teacher.
Yeah.
It will say, okay, this pain is happening because you have resistance to this. This pain is happening because this is a cellular issue. This is a lifetime issue. This is a karmic issue, something you need to learn, something you need to teach, some sort of a challenge that you need to find the gift. And once you find the gift in that challenge, and the gift to me was learning how to heal. How can I learn how to heal if I didn't have anything to heal, if I'd never experienced anything that needed healing?
yeah, it's like you said, if we live in a bubble where everything is good and bright and happy and nothing ever happens to you, what are you going to learn? That's not the real world.
It's not.
And all of these things are there for a reason. And yeah, they've said that many times. This is a difficult planet. This is one of the most challenging planets there is.
It is. And the
most difficult. To come in here, you know, people really, they don't, you know, when they come down here, they learn so much here that's not available anywhere else. It is a challenging planet.
It's true. And they also say not only is this the most challenging planet, this is the most challenging time to be on this challenging planet. So it makes it almost kind of like a double whammy. But on the corollary to that is not only is it the most challenging, but you have the highest possibility for spiritual growth and evolution from learning your challenges in this particular time period.
If you can look at it that way.
Yes. That's the hard part, is finding the awareness to be able to take what's happening in your life and say, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to stop. It's kind of like a rock rolling downhill. You have to learn to stop that emotional response before that rock gets to rolling too fast and you can't stop it.
It's a lot harder then.
But once we realize that we need to find that awareness of what's actually going on in our world, we can totally change everything. We can stop it and say, okay, let's see what's going on with this issue. Let's find the bottom. Let's find the root cause. Let's come bring it into balance, love it into balance, and move forward with this.
Because, you know, I mean, I see so many clients, you know, thousands and thousands of people, and you have those that are just stuck in this victim attitude, poor me.
Yes.
You know, the world's against them. Everybody's against them. Everybody's out to hurt them.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be healed because that is they're doing it to themselves. But even though they'll say, I don't want to be sick, but they're caught up in that whole attitude thing. I found they're the hardest ones to work with anyway. I don't know if you found that or not.
Absolutely. And you know what that boils down to me, is responsibility. So many people do not want to take the responsibility to understand why they are the way they are. They blame it on something outside of themselves, not knowing all along that they've made the choices that got them right there to begin with.
Yeah.
And they refuse to take responsibility for those choices as to why they are the way they are, in order to blame someone else, and it's easier. But in essence, it's actually quite a bit harder. If you look at it from the way I'm looking at it, it's quite a bit harder because the pain is there, the resistance is there, and it's kind of like you're standing in this hurricane force wind with your shield up going, it's not my fault, it's not my fault, it's not my fault. And the winds, all the meantime, are trying to blow you over.
They're just sucking down in all this misery, you know,
sure,
of that poor me.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they're way down at the bottom, and it's a long, you know, hard road to try to pull them out of that. It's just like they're stuck in the mud.
It is.
So those are the ones that are the hardest to work with, and I just finally tell them, I'm just not going to listen to this. If you want to do a pity party, that's not what this is all about.
That's exactly right. I could not have said that better. And the truth is, you're a co-creator with God. That makes you one of the most powerful creatures in all the known universe. You are a co-creator with God. That means you're not God in essence, but you are a part of God. It's kind of like you're a droplet of water in the ocean. You're not the ocean, but you have all the attributes of the ocean.
Yes.
That having been said, that makes you one of the most powerful creatures in all the known universe. And if you're that powerful, you can create anything. You can create victimhood, or you can be the creator of your experience. Or you can
That's what I tell people. They always talk with us. I said, look, money is the easiest thing to create. They've told me that anything material, we can have anything we want, but that material thing is the easiest thing to create once you realize how the law of creation works.
That's
the law of attraction, the law of abundance. These are all laws of the universe.
That's right.
And once we understand how the system works, and how you can visualize, I tell them, you've got to know what you want first before you can get it.
Exactly.
Once you know what you want, you can have it. It's that simple.
That's
Why
true.
Make things complicated? You could have a wonderful life. It's up to you.
That's true. How many people have you met that know exactly what they don't want in their lives?
What they don't want.
Right. A million of them. Everybody knows what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people actually know what they truly desire in this life? always or not too many?
Well, I'm just thinking, I just did some clients who got a wonderful plan of something they want to do that's going to really help the world. But they're thinking of all the little steps. How do I raise the money? Who do I contact? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So how do they get out of their own way?
Well, I always tell them, you focus on the end result, the goal, the dream. You don't lose your dream. You focus on what it is you're trying to accomplish, the end result, and see it in detail.
Yes.
That it's already done.
Yes.
It's already accomplished. Don't worry about all the little parts about how you're going to get there, what do you have to do to get there, because they have said that limits them.
Yes.
If you say, it'll only happen if I do this and this and this, it'll happen in ways you can't even possibly imagine. They'll pull something way out of left field. So I just trust them. I know that whatever they come up with is going to be right. And you focus on what you want, the end result, see it already done, then it's a law of the universe, it has to happen.
That's right, so be it. That's the only thing the universe knows how to say to you. God loves you so much, Source loves you so much, it says here, whatever you're thinking, this is what you can have. But the problem doesn't come into what you desire. The problem comes in how you go about creating it. We tend to get, humans in general, tend to doubt ourselves. Instead
yeah.
of listening to our hearts, we listen to our minds, and our minds say, oh, you're not worthy, you're not good enough. You know, and it gives you all the reasons why you can't have what it is that you desire in your life.
It's too hard to accomplish and all that. Settle
exactly.
for, you just got to settle, you know, settle for the little things.
Sure. And we get right in our own way. And we have these, all of these issues that just stand there and say, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. Well, your heart, all your heart knows how to say is, so be it. So listen to your heart, get out of your head, get into your heart. And step out of your own way. Visualize exactly what you want to have happen in your world and feel yourself doing it. Like if you want rain, for example, that's one of the examples that Kevin gave us way back in the day. We wanted it to rain. We live in Texas, and we're constantly in need of rain here. And
don't say rain here. We've had nothing but rain for weeks.
we
want
the
weather to dry out. But I know I've lived in Texas, and it can get real dry.
It can get pretty dry. We just came off a 3-year drought, and, yeah, it's been pretty dry here. So we love the rain here. You send yours
well,
down our way.
Well, finish the story anyway.
And, well, anyway, so we were in Pima, Texas, and all of a sudden I started thinking about rain. I said, well, if we can create anything that we want, and if we get out of our way, I said, well, let's see if we can create rain, because we were in a drought, and I had 40 acres to water and no way to do it. And so Dash and I went outside, and we started thinking about it, and we just visualized this big rain cloud up there. And so we closed our eyes, and we kind of squinted a little bit, and we thought about this rain cloud and opened our eyes, and nothing, absolutely nothing. Well, that didn't work. And so we got to talking about it a little bit, and all of a sudden inspiration struck, and the emotion of love came up so strongly in my heart. I said, Dash, let's put love into it. Let's put an emotion, energy and motion into it.
Mm-hmm.
So we rethought the whole process. We visualized our little toes squishing in the mud. We visualized and literally felt the cool breeze blowing in our face. We felt the rain hitting our shoulders. And we completely visualized the whole thing and then took that emotion of love and just projected it into this beautiful rain cloud. And I literally felt something move within me when we did that. I felt something come up through my spine and literally come out my head.
Mm.
And we waited about 5 minutes and we knew we were done. And I looked up in the sky and there was a ginormous rain cloud coming up over the horizon and it poured for 40 minutes. And it didn't take longer than about 10 minutes. It was a strange
thing. I wonder if it was raining anywhere else or just on your place.
Well, now, interesting you would ask that question. That's not in the book. But I looked at the weather radar that night. I was watching the news, and they even had something over Kima, Texas, that there was an unusual rain cloud formed over Kima, Texas. So, yeah, you can actually, it borders almost on the magical, but I think sometimes humans have forgotten the magic of this world, the magic
mm-hmm.
of what we can do when we put our minds to it.
But one thing, when I'm giving lectures on that, one thing I always bring up, you know, you can have anything you want, you can create it, your mind is that powerful.
That is correct.
But there are some restrictions. You never want to create anything that's going to harm anyone else.
That is correct.
And you never want to create anything that's going to take away from anybody else.
That's absolutely correct. The two, I don't want to call them laws, but he said the two things you really want to bear in mind, Joel, are one, you're always going to be held accountable for your actions, no matter what they are. And two, you cannot interfere with the free will choice of another.
Yes.
Those are the two biggies that he told me. And bear those in mind very closely because manifestation, if you look around the world, manifestation works just as good with icky stuff as it does with the good stuff.
Yeah.
Energy is basically non-denominational. Energy just is. It's the energy or the emotion we put onto it or the judgment that we put onto it that creates good, bad, right, and wrong. Energy and by itself just is. It's inert, if you will.
It's neutral. It's where neutral. It becomes positive and negative according to what people do with it.
Exactly.
And it does have to do with the person and the judgment. Yeah, that's very important to say that. It's how we judge something.
Exactly.
But also that just made me think of the healing, too. People, you know, sometimes you take my class and they say, well, now I'm going to go out and heal everybody. And I said, that's not what it's all about.
It's not.
The free will is very important.
Absolutely essential.
You never know that other person's plan, what they came in with, what they're planning on doing, their contracts they've made with other people. And you don't know their free will. You can't just assume and go out and do something for somebody if you don't know if that's really what they want.
You know, that's one of the big lessons I learned with Kevin and then again with Amorette, fixing things. Healers in general are very compassionate, loving human beings, and their desire to help and to heal is extraordinary. But one of the things they taught me was that when you have an individual who is working out his karma or working out his sums, as they call it down here on this planet, and you interfere and try to fix it and take it on as yours so that they don't have to, you're negating every reason they came here.
Yeah.
And it's one thing that it was one of the strongest lectures I've ever actually gotten from them. You cannot fix another soul's contract or karma. You can help them with it. You can work with them so that they realize it and come to a place of peace with it, but you cannot take on their issues and try to fix it. And so many times with so many healers, I see them trying to fix these issues. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear that all the time. They say they're going to go out and heal these people, and I said, how do you even know they want to be healed?
Exactly. That's a good one.
Uh-huh. Well, I also have, you know, mothers, you know, parents come in, and one of their things they always ask me, how can I make my children happy? You can't make that. That sounds like it's probably a caller. Let me finish the sentence first.
Okay.
Then that beep is usually a caller.
Okay.
You can't make anyone happy. You're not responsible for them. But they said, don't take your children's lessons away from them.
Exactly.
Okay, Seth, is there someone on the line?
Hi.
Yeah, you're real hard to hear. Go ahead. Do you have a question?
Hello. Yes.
Yes.
I do. I love this topic. What about if people each have an outcome that they want to see, but they're in opposites of each other? What wins out?
Do you want to answer that, Jules?
Sure. Could you speak up just a little bit? I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, she's very faint.
Is this better?
Yes, much better.
Okay. Here's an example. When there was the earthquake in San Francisco, one of the exit ramps had been damaged, and part of that neighborhood wanted it rebuilt, and the other part didn't. And so what do you do when there's, you know, two different groups focusing on two different outcomes for, say, you know, the same thing? How does that work?
Well, when you have two different outcomes for any issue or any challenge, I'm going to give you an example, and this may not answer this question, but I will give you an example of a win-win situation. In every challenge and in every moment that you have a challenge, there's always a win-win situation within it. It may not be apparent at first. I think this is also in my book. I had a neighbor, and I had just had a Rottweiler, and he was protection trained. And unbeknownst to me, she had a bridge party every single week on the back porch of her house. Every single week, my dog would go out and bark incessantly at them because he was trying to protect my house from these mad bridge players. And so I didn't even know it. I worked all day, and I never realized there was even an issue. And all she wanted was the dog to shut up. I didn't even know it. Well, I came home one day and got a phone call from her, and she lit into me just like I've never seen before. And I'm like, when I could finally get a word in edgewise, I literally just prayed for divine guidance on how to bring this to a win-win situation. And I had this flash of inspiration. I said, why don't you and your husband meet me in the front yard, and I will introduce you to my dog. And I will extend his area of protection, not only from my house, to your house. And they did, and I put him in a downstay. And I had my hand on theirs. The dog met them, and I told them that, and I took him for a stroll around their yard, and he marked his territory in their yard, and he came back, and I said, the next time you see him, I want you to give him the command in German to be silent. And they did. And I said, okay, fine. The next time you have a bridge party, let's try that, because now he knows he has to listen to you. So I went off to work, and I knew she was having a bridge party that day the next week, and I was terrified it wasn't going to work. And so I came home that day just praying that they did. Well, I found Tiki, which was my Rottweiler at the time, in the backyard contentedly chewing on a steak bone. And I called the lady, and I said, what happened? And she goes, well, he started barking. And I told him to shut up in German as loud as I could, and he looked at me just with this stunned look, and just laid down and looked at us the rest of the day. Jules, it worked perfectly. And it was a wonderful situation because it won for me because my neighbors were happy with me. It won for her because they made friends for life. Until the day that dog died, my neighbor would feed him their scraps. So they made lifelong friends. It was a win-win situation. So in any challenge like that, I offer that there is a win for both sides. Now, it may take compromise on both sides. You see?
Well, I was thinking about at the very beginning of the show, you guys talked about focus on what you want.
Yes.
And, okay, so I was thinking, what if you have two sides that are focusing on different things? That's what I was referring
on
to.
On diametrically opposing viewpoints?
Yeah.
But this can even happen in families, too, husbands and wives. Yes. You have different goals. That's what you mean, something like that.
I agree to disagree. That is the most famous statement that I use. I agree to disagree.
Well, yeah, but assume you don't even know this other person, right?
Right.
And so let's assume I want an outcome. I'm, you know, holding that I want that job and someone else is doing the same thing.
Sure.
You know, if we get what we focus on, how can two people get into that one job?
Well, there may be another. I mean, that's not the only job in the world.
No, I was just trying to use the model of what you were saying.
Okay. Let's take this in terms of reality.
Okay.
In real life, there is enough for everyone.
Correct.
Literally. There is no lack in the universe. In your situation, you want this job, and in your situation, this person wants this job. The highest outcome would be if both of you could find a job that suited both of you. All right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to say, okay, you deserve this and you don't. There's no easy answer to this. Okay? It's one person's going to get the job, one person's not. It's not good, bad, right, or wrong. Take the judgment out. He who is best qualified will probably get the job, let's face it. In the real world, that's usually what happens. And one person probably won't. But what you fail to realize is if you look at the backside of it, if you don't get that job, perhaps it will open a door that you have never seen or were not in awareness of that will move into something extraordinary and 10 times better than this job. So it's not always I have to have this particular thing. Do you see?
I'm trying to work on a job that would be created.
Yes.
That wasn't there before. That has happened, too.
I'm trying to come up with an examples because people have asked me this, and I kind of intuitively know what it is, but when I try to verbalize it, I don't have the words for it. Like people have said,
It's not simple. It's complicated.
This is a complicated subject. This is the reason we have wars.
Yeah, that's true.
this is not an easy subject. When two people have diametrically opposed viewpoints, how can you find peace between them? That's basically your question. For example, like let's take religion. Two different religions have diametrically opposed views. How are they ever going to come to peace? They come to peace by accepting that the other person's experiences, choices, and actions were not theirs, and their belief system is different, and being okay with that. Okay?
So what they focus on may not be what they get.
Well, what they focus on may not be what they need in their life. The universe has a really unique way of providing you with whatever it is you need for your spiritual growth and evolution, and it may not be this job. It may be that you didn't get this job, and because you didn't, you went and sat in a park and happened to sit by the CEO of a company who was having
a park. No, I totally agree with that. I was just going on what it said, what you focus on, like people, it's easy to create money, right? If you focus on then you're going to get it. Well, my whole thing was, if you focus on something and someone else is focused on it, who gets the outcome if the law of the universe is what you focus on is what you get? And I was just trying to come up with examples that may be the case. You see what I'm saying?
Well, somewhere, I don't know, with one of the books I published, somebody said, God never says no. He either says yes, or I have something better in mind.
Oh, now see, that's interesting to add that bit on. Otherwise, it just sounds like there could be two people could be focused on the same thing.
Yeah.
And if that's the law of the universe, how can two people get it if there's only one thing? But I see what you're saying. Or better. Okay.
That makes absolute sense. But is there only one thing is my question. See, to me, there's not only one thing. To me, there's a myriad of possibilities.
Well, no, let's say you're playing in a tournament and you're both focused at the end. You see yourself getting a trophy, right? There's only going to be one outcome for that. So, I mean, you know, this is where you both want the same thing. And I'm just using that as a small example against the law of the universe.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So, and another question people ask me is, how is it the people that can be what, even though there's no right or wrong or good or bad, maybe aren't best people that we would view as the best, can bring money and things into their life? They view it as how spiritually enlightened a person is. But those two don't go together, do they?
What, money and spirituality?
Yeah.
Well, okay. First of all, to me, everything is spiritual. There is not one thing that is not spiritual on this planet. Every moment, every second you're alive is a spiritual undertaking of some kind. It's like trying to take the spirit out of your body. If you're alive and active and working on this planet, you're spiritual. Do you see? It's not separate from what you do or be. Money is simply a reflection of your own energy. It's a reflection of what you choose to be important in your life. It's abundance.
Money is only energy anyway.
Yeah. That's
everything is energy.
Everything
and
is energy.
It's meant to come and go.
Right. The two are not mutually exclusive. One of the myths, I think, of the world is that you have to be in poverty and a martyr or something like that in order to be spiritual. And I don't necessarily think that's the case. I don't think that you have to be completely without in order to be spiritual. In other words, if your cup is empty, what do you have to give others? In other words, you fill your own cup up, and then with the overflowing of abundance, you help others. Do you see? So I don't think it was mutually exclusive.
Unless, of course, somebody chooses not to help others, then
that's your decision, because that's what you're here. You're here to make any decision you want. Yeah.
That's right.
There's no wrong.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for talking with me and answering these questions.
Well, bless your heart. I hope you win your next game.
Oh, I'm not even in a tournament or anything other than the game of life, so I want you to...
Okay, that's very good.
Wonderful. Well, that's a good one to win.
Okay, yeah. I'm watching the clock, too, and I've only got another 5 minutes here.
Oh,
okay, but thanks a lot. You had some very good questions.
Those were wonderful questions.
Yeah, they were.
And hard questions. Those are the hard questions.
Yeah, because that's what people... I get that all the time at the lectures, too. But I want to ask, you said... you are a healer. What kind of healing do you do?
Well, normally what I tend to work with indigos and crystals, but I work with a lot of people, and usually it's people in crisis. Usually it is people who have an injury or cancer or this or that or the other, some sort of physical problem that they can't seem to fix by themselves. So they come in and say, can you help? And mm-hmm. in my book is a wonderful explanation of healing and what is required for healing. The first thing that's required for healing is knowing what's out. The second thing required for healing is the desire to be healed. And the third thing is the space in which healing can occur. And what I do is try to provide the space in which healing can occur. And I have no set, this is who I work on, this is who I don't. The angels are forever telling me, deny healing to no one. So if someone comes to me in crisis, then I will be there to help them.
But that's a lot of times they don't realize what's causing it. So this is what you, I mean, you don't do hands-on healing or like that or what?
I do.
Like Reiki or different types? Or
it is a type of Reiki. It's what the angels have taught me. How this came about, I had a sick cat, and I didn't know anything about healing back in my 20s. And I didn't want my cat to die, and I took him to the vet, and they said, I'm sorry, he's not going to live. And he said, you know, probably more than a week or so. So I brought him home, and I was just in tears, and Kevin showed up, and he said, I'm going to teach you something. I want you to take your hands and rub them over his body, and I want you to take three breaths, which are explained in my book, and start bringing in the grace energy. And just rub your hands over your cat every day for 5 minutes for a week. And my cat lived for the next 5 years. So there is an energy. And once you clear a body, you know, and you can use any technique you want. My partner Cindy Shelton and I work together, and we use anything from vibrational oils to tuning forks to acupressure, hands-on, whatever's going to work, whatever is going to break through those blocks that keep you from seeing the perfection of your own self.
Well, that's what I work with, is helping the person find out why they have done this to themselves, because you make yourself sick.
Oh, absolutely.
And if your mind is that powerful to make yourself sick, it's also powerful enough to heal you.
That's
but first
exactly.
you got to find out why. Why did I do this?
Exactly.
And a lot of people don't want to admit they're responsible.
That's the hard part. That's the crux of the issue right there. Once they realize you've created this mess and you can uncreate, well, you can't really uncreate, but you can transmute. Like my back will always have that little hairline fracture in it. It'll always have, you know, that disc that likes to slip out. But if I continue to do the things that keep me healthy, I have no problem. I mean, I'm jumping horses now and I'm absolutely fine. And with three broken backs later, I'm just kicking just fine. Your body will heal itself if given half a chance.
Yes.
Given half a chance, it will heal itself.
That's what they always say. You know, you know what I mean by they. You know?
Yes.
They always say no surgery, no invasion of the body. It's totally unnecessary. The body can heal itself if we just don't interfere.
If we don't interfere and we give ourselves the time and the space and you know, most of the reasons people get sick nowadays to me are toxins. Our system and world is so built in with toxins that it's very difficult to stay healthy these days. But if you eat right, if you drink lots of water, eat right, do the exercises, and do all the things that are good for you, you know, you've got a pretty good chance of staying pretty healthy.
Yeah, because, you know, I work with doctors all over the world now, and I have a lot of doctors coming to me as clients.
Mm-hmm.
And the it's going toward, what do you call it, the underground or what? It is going more and more toward natural healing,
yes.
Alternative healing, herbs, and
mm-hmm.
That's where it's at. And I'm seeing this all the time.
I agree. And on a friend of mine's website, he's got the 49 sacred herbs to keep you healthy, and they're fabulous. It's in my book as well, and it's too long to go into now. But yeah, absolutely, eating right and eating healthy, eating organic is really big. So
yeah, the one thing they always say, because people are always asking about their diet, they say the best foods we can eat are live foods.
That is correct.
Which means fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yep.
To stay away from the heavy foods, because here we don't have time to go into the ascension process, but in order to ascend and change our vibration and frequency,
yes.
the body has to get lighter,
yes.
and it can't as long as you're eating heavy meats and heavy foods.
Oh, that's correct, yeah. And processed foods, it just gunks up your whole system. Now, it's really hard. Once you gunk up your system, the ascension to light body, which, again, I talk about a lot in this book because that's the whole process that we're going through on planet-wide right now. The ascension into light body literally requires that your body holds more and more and more light. And in order to do that, your particulates are going to have to shift in a manner that a geometrical pattern that allows more light in. And they can't do that when they're clogged, when your entire system is clogged with toxins.
With the heavy foods. And
they
do say water is extremely important.
Yes.
But they also said no big heavy meals. They call it grazing. They said it'd be better if you ate small amounts all during the day.
That's true. That was one of the things. I didn't give the exact diet that Amaret gave me in my book. I don't have that written in there, but that was one of the things she did. It's about 6 meals a day, little bitty tiny things, mostly a lot of green stuff.
Because they said if you eat a big heavy meal, there's not room for the energy to move.
Right. That's absolutely correct. And that's one of the reasons we get so heavy.
Is
people tend to sit and eat huge, heavy meals, and then, you know, it just kind of sits there. And ugh.
Well, it sounds like me and you are on the same page anyway.
I think so. It's a good page to be on.
Yeah, you know, we're coming from different directions where our information comes from, but still it is the same information.
I agree. And I think there's a lot of light workers on this planet that are living this. You know, they may not be as well known, obviously, as you are and all of the things, but there are a ton of people out there literally working night and day to raise the consciousness of this planet, and hats off to them. I want to salute them.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing, even though we don't realize it, even the ones who don't know what they're doing. You know, it's always been the little person that's been the biggest help anyway.
I agree.
But before we go off, I want you to tell people how they can contact you if they want to speak to you or healing or anything. How can they get a hold of you?
My website is www.awakeningtoyourcreation.com. That is the website for the book, and you can read a little bit about me there. And my email address is jew2358@aol.com. You can reach me at either place. And
say that email again, because that's a little more complicated.
Actually, you know what? Let's do the other email. It's Awakening Jewels.
Awakening Jewels?
Awakening, jewls@aol.com.
Maybe that's easier than all the numbers.
Yeah, that's easier than the number one.
Okay, and the name of the book is Awakening to Your Creation, and you can get the book through our website if you want to.
That's correct.
It's www.ozarkmountain.com. It's abbreviated, ozarkmt.com, and you can get the book through there if you want to. But I do want to remind everybody, the conference is coming up. And it's here, you might want to call it Bentonville. We always say Fayetteville, but all the towns run together. It's the home of Walmart, Bentonville, Arkansas. And we're going to have it in the Clarion in Bentonville, and it's right off by the airport. And it's going to be June the 12th to the 14th. And somebody said earlier, Helen Reddy is coming from Australia. She's our keynote. And we got wonderful speakers, and Jules is one of these people, and you'll be able to come and meet all these people. And it's for the 3 days. So if anybody's interested in that, you can also check out our website and find out more about that, the Ozark Mountain website. Okay, so I think now we're going to have to sign off, or he's going to pull the plug.
Oh, well, Dolores, thank you so much for having me on your show.
I was going to say, thanks a lot for coming on tonight.
My pleasure.
And good night, everybody out there.
Good night, Dolores.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.